Okay, welcome back. There are a lot of people listening right now who are not well. There are a lot of people listening right now who have been injected or who have encountered the bioweapon virus. They have encountered one of two bioweapons that have been unleashed on humankind, and they're not doing well. They're sick. They don't feel well, understandably. There are many people out there who have not had the virus necessarily, maybe once, maybe they don't even know if they've had it. They've also encountered problems by shedding, however. And shedding will make you sick. Shedding will actually lead to your death. It's happened. No joke. So we're on this issue constantly because no one else seems to want to talk about it much, except for some on our side of the ledger in the so-called alt-news world, but it's not being talked about at all in the mainstream media. I'll never mention it. It won't happen. All right, I'm still doing several things here. Are you there? Is that chair occupied across the room there? Oh, you are in there. Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. So what's going on? Anything that we want to just mention real quick before we jump into this? We're going to do fatigue first, I think.
No, it's you know, a continuation of the same saga.
Yeah. It's just getting worse. It's not getting better.
The stories are not stopping.
No. 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 All right, here's an issue. There are many, many of you out there, and about 81% of Americans, 82, have been injected. That's the best we can come up with the bioweapon injection. Probably Pfizer, less likely Moderna. The other two are pretty well out of it now, so we won't even mention those. But there are a lot of people who are complaining about fatigue, chronic fatigue or chronically fatigued. They don't have the energy they used to have. They just can't figure out what's wrong. They haven't necessarily been injected. They haven't necessarily had COVID. They've certainly been around other people who are shedding spike protein, probably mRNA as well, and they're tired. They're tired. They have issues with mitochondria. And mitochondria, of course, are the items in your body that create your energy. Tell us a little bit more about mitochondrial decline and why that's probably involved with many of the cases of fatigue. Chronically fatigued people. They're tired.
Well, if your mitochondria isn't working, you're not creating energy efficiently. And the mitochondria will work when there's oxygen available. If there's no oxygen, either because of a low perfusion or low ability to...
Or we could also say, couldn't we, low oxygen? There has to be some oxygen or you'd be dead, but low oxygen.
Right. Yeah, you can have a cell with no oxygen, you know, and it reverts to a very primitive way of making
primitive
energy called fermentation. And
yeah,
that, you know, sets the stage for cancer. And so I'm not surprised at what you're going to hear. And there can be a variety of reasons for it. You know, the big one that comes to mind, of course, is either this virus because of its ability to destroy the blood and the oxygen-carrying capacity of the blood and the perfusion and all of the deficiencies, nutritional deficiencies that go along with it. And, you know, you lose your ability to create heme. You lose your ability to carry oxygen.
Right.
And it's a slow decline.
All right, well, here's one, just one of the tens or hundreds of millions of people, certainly around the world, who are complaining about being tired, a ghost of their former selves, energetically speaking. There's just nothing there, and they haven't a clue about why.
You are definitely not alone. People all over the world, and it probably is safe to say the majority of the people, are dealing with extreme exhaustion. It's like they cannot get enough rest, and that's not good because a lot of people have jobs they have to go to. They're not getting a good night's sleep. And even if they are getting a good night's sleep, their bodies are literally being like zapped of their energy. It's like they happen to drag themselves, push themselves to keep going. There's something going on with people being so exhausted. And if you're watching this video, chances are you're one of those people. I know I'm one of those people. I am as exhausted. I've never felt this type of exhaustion for a long, long time in my life. It seems like whatever is out there, this energy that's circulating, oh, it's heavy. It's heavy. It's powerful. It's doing a number on us. It really is. It's zapping the energy out of us. And it doesn't matter if you get more caffeine in your body? No, that doesn't seem to be the answer either. Because it only gets you a little bit more energy. Just a little bit more. There's something going on. Something very serious is happening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a lot of people being so exhausted.
Well, I'm sure some of you listening have that same issue. There are several pathways to arrive at that unfortunate destination, not just one. Certainly, the spike protein is a mitochondrial poison. It just ruins it. And so it doesn't matter if you've had the virus or the shot. If you're around people who are shedding spike, that's one of the things it's going to do. And we've had endless reports of people saying that they had been around the vaxxed or boosted, and they ended up being incredibly tired, fatigued, worn out, exhausted, same thing. So it's just a strong suggestion. Again, this is anecdotal to a degree, a significant degree. But it's a very strong suggestion that the spike is at work. Go ahead.
Sure. We know what the blood of the vax looks like.
Oh.
That's not healthy blood. And if you have blood that looks like that, it's no surprise you're tired.
How is that blood, sludge blood, supposed to honestly carry oxygen and nutrition to all the cells of the body? How is the heart supposed to endlessly pump a fluid that is 4 to 5 times, I'm guessing, at least as thick as it's supposed to be? It can't. And that's why I think a lot of people are just dying suddenly of, they call it a heart attack. Well, the heart can't take it anymore. It cannot do something it was not designed to do. And when you look at how thick this blood is, it should scare the hell out of you.
Yeah, and
the
heme
is being broken off the red blood cells. The iron is running loose. The heme is running loose. Who's delivering the oxygen? Yeah, this is crazy. And no one's talking about this. I don't know any doctors who have written how they're treating their patients with information before pharmaceuticals, trying to educate their patients. Here's why you may be tired, Mrs. Smith. Here's why you may be exhausted, Mr. Jones. Here's several things to consider. They're not doing that. I'll bet most of them don't even know that spike protein is the deadliest thing ever created by humankind. And we said that courtesy of Dr. Chetty from the very beginning, years ago. And it's true. So for all of you out there who are exhausted and tired, pay attention. We've put up a number of stories tonight. I just got them. They should be. Let me check and see if they're up there in guests yet. Hopefully they are. And here, tonight's guests. Yes, they are there. All right. There are articles, papers, about copper. Copper. Don't take copper supplements without doing your homework. Understand what copper does in the body, what role it plays, and what roles it may play that you don't want in your body. Here are the papers. Here are the articles. I will read the titles. Reducing copper in the body alters cancer metabolism to reduce the risk of aggressive breast cancer. Interesting. Reducing copper in the body can reduce the risk of aggressive breast cancer. It's a very good piece of information. Here's another one. Copper and cancer. Another study showing that copper restriction halts cancer. Think about that. There is some evidence out there that restricting your copper will help stop cancer. And another one, triple negative breast cancer. Copper depletion found to reduce the risk of relapse. Triple negative breast cancer, copper depletion found to reduce the risk of relapse. Here's another one. It goes in lockstep with what I was just saying and the video we just played. Why am I always so tired?
You better look at that video. That was the name of a book written by Dr. Anne Louise Gittleman, who's written prolifically on the topic of natural health. Back in 1999, the name of her book was Why Am I Always So Tired? And it was specifically about the role of copper in contributing to fatigue.
Way ahead of her time.
Yeah.
Way ahead.
Yeah.
That's a video up there for you. So it's right there in guests under Jeff and Erica. Take a look. Why am I always so tired? Here's another one. Unveiling the effects of copper ions in the aggregation of amyloidogenic proteins. The aggregation of amyloid proteins. The effects of copper therein. Copper ions. So copper is affecting the aggregation of amyloids. And the last one, copper chelation. You all know what chelation is by now. It's removing something from the body. Copper chelation delays the onset of prion disease. Now, did I say anything about stopping all copper? No. All right, Chief, go ahead.
Well, I bring this up because I know that there is a copper cult going on these days.
Oh, is there? Yes.
And I'm suspicious of it because there's no counter narrative that's allowed to be heard in opposition to it.
No, they shut people right down. You got it.
Yeah, yeah. And, this has been going on for a while, but it has picked up speed since 2022, which, again, raises suspicions as to why. Copper is a double-edged sword. You absolutely need it. And we've talked about this. If you don't have it in the nervous system, you pretty much degenerate rather quickly. But by the same token, if it's not properly regulated, if you lose copper homeostasis, it can be lethal. And I recently, the last month or two, I have been seeing more and more people entering into these copper toxicity groups now, having spent the last year or so in the copper zealot groups. And this is particularly devastating for women because, as I've said before, it is well known that estrogen, the female hormone estrogen, promotes the retention of copper in the body. Women are almost universally protected against copper deficiency by virtue of estrogen, and to the point where they very quickly can accumulate too much copper, and that becomes a vicious cycle of driving more estrogen production and more copper retention. And then severe mineral imbalances, so that the copper that they take in cannot be used. It gets stored in tissues. It will get stored in the liver and the brain and the heart and the kidneys. But the liver and the brain are the big ones. And it is well known that copper can result in mood disorders, bipolar disorders, postpartum psychosis, where, you know, women go on a rampage and kill their kids, hormonal imbalances, liver, what do you want to call that, liver congestion, they have trouble detoxing.
That's interesting. So it's putting an added pressure on the liver function, too. Okay.
Yeah, because liver will impact the liver's ability to produce bile.
Mm-hmm.
One of several things it can do. It can interrupt methylation, so you cannot process your estrogen, and
right.
you end up having, you know, these toxic forms of estrogen that aren't detoxed, and they can drive cancer.
How about gallstones? We have a lot of gallbladder issues.
Yeah, that's a copper issue. That's a toxic liver. You know, primarily from this buildup of copper that is not able to be used. And
got
so there are ways of dealing with this. Some of these groups are very instructive in helping women overcome this. And it is certainly aggravated by hormonal birth control pills or estrogen patches, as in hormone replacement patches. Copper really causes tremendous copper imbalance in the female body. And it even contributes to that intrauterine growth restriction that we are seeing in pregnancy now as a result of, number one, these shots. And it's where the placenta becomes plugged with these clots.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be copper driving that. So I'm just warning people that copper campaign, the copper propaganda, needs a counter narrative. It's very serious. To try to come back from this can be very, very difficult and troubling. I'm losing my voice. I've seen no end of tragic stories of these women who are suffering after having either a copper IUD and not realizing its impact. The copper IUD releases copper ions into the surrounding tissue, and it can go systemic. It can end up in other organs, such as the brain. And, really cause a whole host of problems.
All right, very good. So those articles I mentioned are up there in guests under our names. One of them is a video. I think there might be more than one that's a video, but they're all important. I'll put them in the news headlines as well, and we can go from there. The other story is that he has not updated the readers yet, just so we know. I don't have them.
I the only readers I sent was to you directly.
Okay, then we're good. All right. I was looking for a slug, but I do see them now. Okay, anything we want to read that you want to start with or send over to me that you point me to and I'll read it?
Well, we could do this. This is just some examples of people who are going down probably a very dangerous path with this copper thing right now.
Well, it won't be the only dangerous things people are following. They get on this kick. It's like people going to these bag bars to get an IV drip of iron, for example. You don't want to be doing that. This is all a really careful balancing act.
The people have been left to flounder. All right, so this is bound to happen.
Oh yeah.
And everybody wants a quick fix. And if you read enough testimonials about something, you'll be persuaded to try it. And one particularly tragic case comes to mind. This is one of the vaccine injured people. And she was convinced to go get an iron infusion.
Yeah.
And she did and got considerably worse. And then I guess recovered from that and found the copper zealots.
Okay. Let me read that and then you comment on these. How's that? Does that work?
This isn't the one I'm talking about. Let me finish the story. So she got on the copper bandwagon, and within a couple weeks of taking daily copper supplements, came down with dementia and ended up in a nursing home, and she was not old.
Oh, my.
So, yeah, you really do need to be careful with these metals.
A couple of weeks?
Couple of weeks,
copper,
yes.
Copper supplementation.
Yes.
Put her in the Joe Biden profile.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
All
no
right.
Joke.
And good luck going to a doctor to find out about this stuff. They're not going to know. And if you go to a nutritionist, that's another issue. How many nutritionists are really up to speed on the things that we've been trying to present and get people to consider? I don't think all of them are by any measure. So you really got to be careful. If you keep following along with the information that we present here, you're going to have a good start. Go ahead.
Just for starters, there's a very good website called coppertoxic.com. And that's a very good research to find out more and, you know, see if that is something that you might be dealing with.
If you have indefinable or undefinable symptoms that you cannot peg onto something, you need to start thinking about metals, imbalances, and toxicity therein. It's right there. It's not hard to do. Coppertoxicity.com.
No, coppertoxic.com.
Toxic.
Coppertoxic.com.
Okay. One more time. Coppertoxic.com. All right.
That's
so
it.
So everyone, that's your homework for tonight. Take a look. Okay, we've got these readers, so I'll read, and you want to comment on them? Because you've got really nice comments on these.
Sure.
All right. Can shedding cause your iron levels to go down? I started taking iron supplements 2 days ago to bring my iron levels back up. I'm always feeling tired and stressed out while being shedded on, along with radiation poisoning. I hope I will not be tired in the next few days. And there's a comment to that. Oh boy, I've learned so much about this. You don't want iron. You want copper. All right, now sit tight, everybody. Hold on. You want copper. Iron doesn't leave your body unless you're hemorrhaging or menstruating, which means shedding is forcing excess iron into your tissues because you're low in copper. Get the psychology here. What shedding does is actually chelate copper out of the body. There's a copper-iron metabolism most people aren't aware of. I've had the best success chelating iron out and upping my copper with the shedding. If you don't understand this, look up Dr. Monzo and his videos on copper and iron on BitChute or Rumble. All right, there's a very strong proponent of dosing yourself with copper. What do we got?
Well, I'm going to assume this is a younger woman, still menstruating, all right? I you know, chelating iron? No.
No, I've never heard of that.
I would not recommend that for a young woman at all. And here's the danger. You know, iron has been vilified to an extreme. And, you know, again, you have to do this on a case-by-case basis. I can't see any reason for a young woman to be chelating iron unless, you know, maybe she has hemochromatosis, but have you done the testing to determine that? The iron is going into tissues because of the inflammation. That's the iron withholding response. And no amount of copper is going to change
that. Explain that a little bit, just a tiny bit more. Remember, this whole issue is primarily underscored with inflammation of the body. We don't want
Correct.
Inflammation. So go on a little bit more about that, inflammation causing iron to be retained.
Right. The spike is extremely inflammatory, and the body's response to inflammation is to withhold iron. Because normally pathogens of all different types require iron for growth, and one of the ways the body protects itself from the pathogen is to withhold what the pathogen needs to replicate. So it sequesters iron into organs and tissues so that the pathogen can't get at it.
Got it.
And in the meantime, this is supposed to be a short-lived thing. So in the meantime, you're temporarily deprived of iron, but, you know, you should be okay. But no amount of copper is going to correct that. That's not the answer. And the inflammation is also going to knock copper off of its carrier, ceruloplasmin, and others as well, catalase. It'll destroy catalase as well. And catalase is needed to neutralize hydrogen peroxide. So without catalase, what do you have? Well, mouth sores, for one thing.
Yeah.
And we hear a lot of people complaining about mouth sores. That's a lack of catalase. So I would say, yes, the spike probably does bind to copper, since there is a known copper binding site on it, but it doesn't remove it. It redistributes it.
It's carrying it around, relocating.
It's carrying it around, yeah. And that disrupts the copper balance. And then the excessive inflammation.
It's all crazy.
It's not a lack of copper. It's not an absolute frank deficiency of copper. The copper's there. You just can't use it. It's a functional deficiency of copper. Would adding extra copper in that situation be good? Probably not, because it's going to drive inflammation. The excessive inflammation, and the body is producing something called superoxide when it makes inflammation. It's deliberately making superoxide, which is an oxidant designed to destroy pathogens. But that also causes the copper to become unbound from its carrier protein and allows it to destroy heme proteins, which is in hemoglobin, catalase, and a long list of other proteins. And that this same copper will also disrupt the synthesis of new heme.
Well, the construction of heme in the body was an 8-step process. It's not like snap your finger and it's done.
It's a complicated, long step process where, you know, it has many chances to go awry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So free-floating copper is really dangerous, and that itself will keep the inflammation going.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, the one thing that I have seen help in this situation is alpha-lipoic acid, which is a form of sulfur, and NaC. That's another sulfur-bearing amino acid. That seems to restore some of the balance to the oxidized form of copper versus the reduced form, which is the one that you could actually use. And it will also bind to the copper to keep it from being so reactive.
That's alpha-lipoic acid, known as ALA. ALA or NAC.
And or both. Take them at different times, but they are both very useful. And then niacin.
Flush.
Yeah. Well, if you can't do the flush, then the other one's okay. But preferably the flush.
Well, this lady again is online, and or man, I think it's a lady. I won't name any names here. But again, what she said here is, oh boy, I've learned so much about this. You don't want iron. You want copper. Copper. And I just don't know. People, when you go around looking for information, there's a certain responsibility on you to do extra research to be sure you're not being misled or not intentionally misdirected. It happens. You want copper. Iron doesn't leave your body unless you're hemorrhaging or menstruating, which means shedding is forcing excess iron into your tissues because you're low in copper. It's not right.
No, it's because you're inflamed.
Not true at all. Okay, here's another one. All right. COVID is not a parasite. COVID, the illness, is caused by a spike protein bioweapon, which has been discovered to be made of synthetic venom peptides. We're back to the king cobra venom again. Ivermectin works because it stops the iron from being forced into the tissues and also stops the chelation of copper and zinc. The implication being that you don't want to chelate copper and zinc out of your body. You want to keep it. But copper is more important, the person writes, than zinc, which is the opposite of what we've all been told. All right, Maestro?
Well, no. We have no evidence that ivermectin works because it stops the iron from being forced into the tissues. No. It's really the ratio of copper to zinc that you want to look at.
You need zinc every day. Don't forget that.
Zinc is what's going to keep copper from becoming toxic.
Yep.
And we talked about that condition called pyloria. Pyroluria, the other night, which chelates out. That literally does. These pyroles that build up when your body is going to make porphyrins to make heme, these pyroles will glom onto the zinc and your B6 and drag them out, and you can become copper toxic that way.
Mm-hmm.
And pyrolurics, as I was saying, develop this intolerance to stress where they can become very agitated, feeling
stress
rage.
Stress defined as?
Physical, chemical, biochemical, emotional.
Biochemical.
Any type.
And emotional.
Any type.
Any kind. Okay.
Yeah.
Because that ties into the release of adrenaline, right? Cortisol, et cetera? Stress?
Yeah. Well, copper is almost like an amphetamine. It's very stimulating, and it will, if it's present when dopamine is around, it will immediately convert dopamine into noradrenaline.
Right.
And it's very stimulating. And, it causes imbalances in neurotransmitters. I mean, the great Dr. Carl Pfeiffer back in 1975 realized that many people with psychiatric conditions were high in copper. And there's a William Walsh who is still treating patients for
that's
that
fascinating.
Type of imbalance.
That really is fascinating. You end up in a shady acres with basically a copper
yes.
issue at the that root of
happen.
The problem. And has happened. Wow. All right. Here's another quick.
All right. Well, let me just finish. All right. It's the ratio of copper to zinc, and a high copper to zinc ratio. And when I say ratio, ideally you'd want, they say somewhere between 4 and 8 parts zinc to 1 part copper.
Copper is most commonly found in the diet. What avenues would you point to? What kinds of foods would be high in copper? It's a mineral. Don't forget that.
Oh, well, chocolate. What else? Nuts, seeds. A lot of the vegetables are very high in copper, particularly the organic ones because they're using organic sulfate.
Oh, my. Yeah, I was going to get into that a little later, but we can use that now if you want. Here, when you're out buying food and you're buying organic food, There are some really big risks that you're running. One is the use of human biosludge collected from wastewater treatment plants, the sludge, turned into what they call fertilizer, an organic fertilizer, and used on organic crops. Now, that fertilizer has all kinds of things in it because it comes from human beings who are dumping things all the time out of their system. That's very dangerous. Number two is the use, it's a traditional use of copper sulfate as an insecticide primarily. That's what they use.
Well, a fungicide, pesticide, and to some degree a fertilizer, but as a result, the soils are becoming very high in zinc because it doesn't break down. And it persists in the environment, and it is a ecological toxin, actually. It's quite toxic to, microbes in the soil. You can really get deplete the soil of beneficial microbes.
Uh-huh.
And then it's toxic to aquatic life.
Oh, this,
it,
this
it really
soil.
Is an ecological disaster, as much so as glyphosate.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, in this day and age, you've got both. You know, because they are using glyphosate in organic farming for desiccating.
It's called forest ripening.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
So, you know, it's a myth that we're not getting copper. I mean, you've got it in copper cookware. You've got it in copper pipes. What else? Nuts,
chocolate.
Seeds, legumes, chocolate.
You ruined my
day. And, of course, if you're a woman and you're using estrogen-based birth control, that's going
to...
How
about copper IUDs?
Yes, copper IUDs. You know, a lot of women have these and, you know, don't realize they are being toxified by the copper in them.
Yeah, the IUD is dumping off molecules of copper.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. We got to move here. Can anyone explain the mechanism by which shedding causes insomnia? I used to search the search bar to search out insomnia and saw I'm not the only one who suffers with this when around shedders.
Well, if we're looking at copper toxicity, which I'm guessing we are, as I said, copper toxicity overconverts dopamine to noradrenaline, and the result
no
is
sleep.
Anxiety and sleeplessness.
Yeah.
And it, you know, and it can move on to depression, and if it gets bad enough, suicide.
Okay, here's another one. Premature gray hair is a copper deficiency, period. Premature gray hair is a copper deficiency.
It can be, but copper deficiency is rare nowadays. Despite the myth that's out there, it's rare. There's probably 10 to 20% of the population that could benefit from some copper supplementation, but the vast majority of people actually have quite a bit of copper in their bodies already. And it's a matter of being able to use it, access it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A lot of times there's a variety of reasons why they can't get at that copper. But premature gray hair is more likely due to the excess hydrogen peroxide that's damaging the pigment-producing cells in the hair follicle. And that is due to a catalase deficiency. Remember, catalase is your body's antioxidant that neutralizes hydrogen peroxide, and it is destroyed by copper.
All right. Here's another one. Someone complains about hypertension. I have very tight occipital after shedding, after being around shedders. Someone's complaining about tight occipital problems.
All right, so that's the pressure behind the eyes, and that's a hallmark sign of intracranial hypertension, where you have this horrendous increase in pressure in the skull.
Ouch.
What's that?
Ouch. Pain. Yeah.
Well, yeah, a number of people are experiencing these intractable headaches, and it may be that intracranial hypertension.
Could be.
And that can be the result of copper toxicity, because that tops the list of symptoms in women with copper overload. And if this pressure stays high enough, long enough, you might get to the point where you have a cerebral spinal fluid leak. And that is happening.
Brain
herniation? There are a lot of VAX-injured people.
Yeah.
That may delay an aneurysm. An aneurysm is a weakening in the blood vessel, and we're seeing that too.
Mm-hmm.
Or a brain herniation. You know, if the pressure gets high enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there's the looming specter of a glioblastoma, which can feed off excess copper.
All right, well, coppertoxic.com. Write it down. Here's one more. Actually, two more. I was always coming to the conclusion, writes another, that I am being radiated treating my acupuncture patients. Some I can feel radiation on their pulses. Copper link there?
Oh, well, copper is conductive. It's one of the most conductive metals, I think, right after silver. Yeah, so, you know, it sounds like she's accumulating copper. Now, that could be, the you know, from the deranged porphyrin pathway, the heme biosynthesis pathway, where you are accumulating porphyrins, but you're not able to complete the job of manufacturing heme. So you've got these porphyrins floating around that will very readily grab onto copper if it's there. And now you've got a problem with electromagnetic fields.
Yes. And this, look, and, we don't want to get you to the point where you just throw your hands up. This is too complicated. It's not too complicated. Just take it slowly. Do your research. Listen to this program again. Read those papers. And understand that it's the spike is horrific. It's the deadliest thing ever created by mankind. Agreed. It creates nothing but grief and trouble in the human body. Nothing. But there are other issues that are tangentially related to this whole, well, it's inflammation, and it's mineral imbalances. They can be really
bad.
Well,
oxidative stress. It's the oxidative stress that is destroying these proteins that are responsible for binding these metals safely.
Right, right. Okay, here's the last one. This is the same person who is apparently an acupuncturist. I have been treating vaxxed patients this entire time and haven't lost one yet. So don't let these people get into your head. I have a great recommendation for you. Dr. Alfonso Manzo from Wellbeing by Design. He's a naturopathic doctor who was specializing in clearing these jabs out of people by 90%. Oh, my. He's helped a lot of people. It's called ATB Coherent Restore. You don't need to be present for it at all. Remote healing, anyone? You can send in your DNA. I just did it from being around vaxxed people because of the accumulation of shedding. I had a great experience feeling like myself for the first time in a long time. Dr. Manzo also clears the nanotech out. Now, this is remotely, dear friends. You don't have to be there. It's what she's claiming, or he, or whomever it is, which is in all of us, regardless of vax status or not. I'll link the website, blah, blah, blah. So what about Dr. Alfonso Manzo, remotely healing and reversing 90% of people who have been jabbed?
I can't comment on it. I haven't seen any.
I haven't seen any either. I haven't read any. Sounds like a med bed to me.
Yep.
So anyway, you get the idea. There are a lot of people out there with ideas that are kind of off the wall, frankly, to be polite and courteous, which we always try to be. But there's some real hard science that needs to be applied to a lot of these statements. And hopefully,
well, I know that, you know, the internet is getting to be a dangerous place because of the censorship. And, you know, you look at these platforms that are getting promoted and the narratives that are being suppressed. It's a dangerous place.
Yes, it is. All right, we have a video here. Do we want to, I don't know how long it is, do we want to jump into that?
Yeah, we might want to save that.
All right.
It's we'll a good one.
It. All right, we'll save it for next time, which will be...
I think I need to make a correction. I said the zinc to copper ratio. I had it backwards. Four parts copper to one part zinc. I think that's the way
I thought it was. That's what you told me earlier today. It was 4
and
to 1.
And people often have really, really high copper levels compared to their zinc levels, and that's when trouble starts.
Because,
you know, you need zinc for, a long list of things. First of all, methylation. If you can't run your methylation cycle, that's a problem. You can't detoxify. You can't repair your DNA. You can't control, you know, your gene expression.
Mm-hmm.
And then with high copper, that impacts your sulfation cycle, and then you run out of sulfate.
The point here is there's another, it's like iron. Get more iron. Everybody's jumping on the iron bandwagon. Well, now they're jumping on the copper bandwagon.
Yeah.
And in many cases, it's going to backfire. It's not going to be helpful.
Yeah, it's difficult to get copper out once it's in. I mean, you ask anybody that's had to deal with that. Some of these women, and, you know, it isn't just women, though. It's men. And, you know, because of the birth control pill that started in the 1960s, we now have baby boys being born to copper-toxic women.
Hmm.
And, you know, quite often they will have issues with ADHD, you know, attention hypersensitivity disorder, behavioral disorders, because it's a stimulating mineral. And, you know, it's considered a feminine mineral,
That's why people feel better, okay? If you feel better, it's got to be good for you, right? That's pretty much a baseline response for most people. If I feel better,
it does it first,
and
until it burns out your adrenals, and then you've got a different set of problems. You know, if you don't have it already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's copper can benefit somebody with a very fast metabolism. And that's as adults nowadays, that's very few. As I said, maybe 10 to 20%.
Well, fast metabolism and obesity don't go hand in hand.
Right.
This
but no, you need to respect it and don't take it casually because you've heard a convincing speech about it.
You might feel better. That'll make it worse for you. I felt better with that. Must be good for me.
All of these minerals have relationships to each other. You know, so when you're taking one, it's only a matter of time before you throw something else off. So I would never do this in isolation. You know, don't take it unless you know you need it.
Oh, you've summed it up perfectly. CopperToxic.com. High copper to zinc ratio. You're ideally talking about 4 to 1, with the 1 being copper, 4 being zinc. So zinc will tend to handle it. The idea that this is stressing the liver, the poor liver is just being beaten to hell. Right,
well,
to
you
left.
Know, we do have an epidemic of liver failure right now, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease.
Yeah.
And, you know, that may be from the high uric acid. Most of these people right now that have been damaged by these shots have high uric acid levels, and that will stress the liver. But also, you know, copper that can't be transported properly ends up in the liver, and if you're not able to produce bile, see, that copper leaves the body through the bile. And if you're not producing enough bile because your sulfation pathway isn't working, that copper is going to stay in the liver. And, you know, if enough of it accumulates, it damages the liver.
And the next thing that happens is
iron overload.
Right. And then we have a lot of people with gallbladder problems, gallstones
tons,
everywhere.
Yes. Yeah.
That's another one.
And that, again, you know, because they're not making choline. Choline emulsifies the bile. So you've got an issue there, and you're not able to make taurine because the sulfation pathway is impaired because of the high copper. You can see how this is going to cascade into a vicious cycle of, you know, inflammation and toxicity.
I think that whoever put this weapon together is superhuman or above that. It's just crazy. what this whole thing has led to and caused. Spike protein is something you don't want in your body. When you see pictures, videos of the blood of a vaxxed person, and I would suggest many unvaxxed people now are suffering from the same sludge blood, wouldn't you? They're getting spiked on.
Well, yeah, if we can believe the live blood analysis, that, yeah, it doesn't look quite as bad as the vax, but it doesn't look healthy.
It's not normal. It's not normal.
No.
No, it's not healthy. And your poor heart trying to push that blood through your entire body, the arteries, all the way down to the capillaries, and the capillaries, many of them are already being microclotted, and so there's no passage there. It's building up more resistance for the blood to move through. It's no wonder the heart is just giving up. Its life is shortened. It's being worn out, and it just says, to hell with this, I'm out of here. I can't do it. And people who engage in athletic events where the heart rate goes up and the blood has to flow faster to bring more oxygen, etc., because of oxygen consumption in athletics, they're dying on the floor of gymnasiums. They're dying on the grass of soccer fields. You know, there's not much happening in the NFL lately. You notice that, everyone. It's very interesting how that's kind of all gone away.
But yeah, that is interesting.
There's a lot of money involved in that, a lot. And it's one of the primary forms of the bread in bread and circuses that they're feeding the masses to keep them from looking at things like we talk about here. All right, coppertoxic.com. Go there, and then we've got five articles for you, which will be up there, and you can take a look. Okay. Good job.
All right.
Really extraordinary. That was a toughie. A lot of science there, but it's very pragmatic. Your understanding of this is second to none. But well done.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jeff. Okay. Good night, everyone.
All right, Yang. We'll be back with more in just a few minutes. Hold on.